how we want the Lord indeed to reign. And that's why we need his Spirit to strengthen us, to guide us. And why I think the Apostle Paul was inspired by that Spirit to talk about this, talk about the subject of the oneness we have in the Spirit, the oneness we have in this body called the church, and then the goal of what we do as that one body, all wrapped up here into chapter 12, getting us, pointing us towards that famous chapter 13 that you've probably heard of at many a wedding in days past. And we'll get to that, of course, next week. It all starts off with that first verse in 1 Corinthians 12 about the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. It's amazing, I think, that when we read that list of gifts, talking about miracles, about healing, about interpretation, talking about sharing our faith, talking even about speaking in tongues, all of those things, that when we hear that, we go, I kind of forget about those things. When we hear about the gift of faith, the gift of encouragement that are listed in other of these gifts lists throughout Scripture, we have to pause and go, oh, yeah, I guess God does give that to us. It's so, so important that we are not uninformed, that we realize that we aren't just here on our own. It isn't just sort of that God loves you, he baptizes you, he confirms you, and now says, okay, you've got my gifts, go ahead and handle this. He has other gifts for us besides the gift of the assurance of our salvation that comes in baptism, besides that ongoing reminder of his forgiveness and that ongoing assurance of his presence. He has other gifts. We're not left as orphans. We don't have to just do this Christian life on our own strength. In fact, I heard a pastor say once, and I think it really is very wise, if you and I try to do the Christian life without the Christian gifts he gives us, we're going to constantly stumble and fall. How could we be holy, even as he is holy, if we don't rely on his Holy Spirit? How can we be wise unto salvation if we don't turn to and rely on the gift of the words and the guidance and interpretation of those words for us that he would give us through his Spirit? How do we figure that somehow, some way, we have enough strength day in and day out to love and encourage and step out in faith and serve and do all of those things we see in Scripture if we don't have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I know the days when I've tried to do it by my own strength and I end up like the empty gas tank or the drained battery on my cell phone. And I also know the days when I've relied on the Lord to do it. And it's all of a sudden you look at the clock and go, what, 16 hours have gone by and I feel like we could just start this day all over again. It's such a difference when we rely on his own strength and his own Spirit instead of trying to do it on our own, which leads us to a really big question. This Christian life, this effort to love others as he has first loved us, to avoid evil and instead turn to and rely on his goodness. Will you try to do that by your own strength? Or will you rely on his? Will we speak and serve and love and live through the Spirit or on our own? I know a lot of us can pull a cell phone out of a box and figure out how it works and go. Some of us are even good enough to just look in the refrigerator and grab or the pantry and grab a few ingredients and whip up a recipe. But most of us need that guidance. The guidance that God would give us clearly in his word, the guidance that he would whisper in our ears by his Spirit, the assurance, here's my way to go about sharing and encouraging and building up and having those right words and gifts to give. So we hear again in this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I don't know if you're aware of this little bit of our Lutheran church history, and really it wasn't limited just to us, but in the 70s, into the 80s, and even into the 90s, there were a lot of arguments in churches about spiritual gifts. There were even some split of churches and even some closing of churches because some people thought unless you had one particular spiritual gift, you weren't a real Christian. Some people thought that somehow, some way, there had to be like a test to see if they had that gift, if they relied on that gift, if they would use that gift. I guess another way to say it is there were some Christians going, I have that gift from God. That makes me better than you. Really sad. Really destructive. The whole purpose of those gifts, whether it's a gift of preaching or teaching or encouraging or serving or a gift of faith, the whole purpose of those wasn't so that people would go, wow, look at her gifts. She's fantastic. Look at how well he can do this or that. Boy, what would we do without him around here? The whole purpose of those gifts was not to wow and glorify ourselves or have others glorify us. The whole purpose of the gifts that God gives was for the common good, to strengthen the body. One person works on an Andrew call. Another person makes the coffee. Another person encourages. Another person serves on this committee or that. One brings a word of knowledge in Bible study. And another is the quiet person that checks behind the scenes and starts our prayer chain going. Every single one of those gifts, every single one who serves with those gifts is needed. And they all make our body stronger. And I just love how it points out that the point of these gifts, this, it's all the work of one Spirit. Even though there are some gifts that Paul kind of ranks and he encourages us to desire the higher gifts, the gifts of teaching, the gifts of faith, or the gifts of encouragement. He encourages us to desire those higher gifts. He said, every gift is needed. Every gift, like red blood cells in our body, fills us up with oxygen and strengthens us. And we can't get by without a single one of those gifts. Along with the gift of the Spirit, God also made sure to give us this other gift, the church. Now, I know sometimes we wonder, I've read a title of a book not too long ago, Jesus I Love, It's the Church I Have Problems With. You know, you may have had that feeling before where you love God, but something that happened at a church, something someone said at a church, or something somebody did was painful, was hard, was challenging. And that's such a challenge for us to rise to the calling of what Jesus really wanted us to be. He chose this phrase, this image, that this analogy, that we form one body. He could have said family and other places he does. He could have mentioned this like a building, this wonderful foundation built on Christ and another place he does. But in particular, over and over, God inspires this idea of a body. You know why? Because now that Jesus has gone back to the right hand of God, is there interceding for us? Is there working and building that permanent and perfect home for us in heaven? We are the body of Christ walking around on this earth. Where he could be in one place at one time, we as the church can be in different people's homes, in different people's countries. We can, by our emails, by our phone calls, by our prayers, be all over the world. We can be the hands and the feet and the compassion of Jesus made real as we serve with our gifts wherever it is that we are. Just as there is one body and it has many parts and these parts all form one body, so it is with Christ, one body unified by his Spirit. And this analogy is so useful then as he talks about the different parts and the different value that's there. A foot can't say to a hand, I don't need you. The eyes can't say, I'm the most important thing. And how amazing it is that even the parts that we don't even see are so very important. I would imagine the last time you thought about your kidney was probably never, or two kidneys, hopefully. But you get a kidney stone and you start thinking an awful lot about your kidney, right? When the pain comes to that part of your body that you don't even think about, that just goes about doing what it does all day long, 80 plus years, it's fascinating. Our hearts, we don't think about them that much, unless it's poetry or songs. but let it skip a beat and it just jolts us. Those hidden parts do so much. And the parts that God gives to us that we think on the outside, the most noticeable, you know, when it says the parts that we think are the parts of the body that they don't need any special treatment at all, right? The face is just fine, doesn't need any special treatment. Pastors, we're just fine. We don't need any special treatment at all, right? We may be up front, we might be the visible one, but we're just fine. The other parts of the body, though, maybe the part that's hurting, maybe the part that's feeling weak, maybe the part that is not as visible, the president that keeps on being a president, leading the meetings and doing all the things that they do, the elder that keeps on praying and keeps us on the right track and teaching and pointing us in the right direction, which is in the direction of Jesus, we may not see. The sweet, dear saint who makes the coffee and prepares things and unlocks the doors and flips on the lights. Every single part of that works together to make this thing we call church happen and bring glory to God. And I love the sweetness of this one simple idea that when we have that one concern, for who is it for, that all the parts should have equal concern for one another. We shake the hands. We look in the eyes and say, so how are you? Really? What can I pray about for you? How can I come alongside you? How can I help you? And that wonderful joy that if one part is rejoicing, one part's got something great and happy that's happening, we rejoice with them. If one part's hurting, it never has to hurt alone. We share that. One of our most vulnerable places is when we think in our hurt, we have to pull off by ourselves. But if we bring the hurt, if we bring the burden to others, it's almost always cut in half because somebody else carries it. Someone else holds it and prays along with us and checks in and has that equal concern for us. One, we have different functions, but one concern. That the love and the strength and the spirit of Jesus keeps us going, keeps us encouraging and building each other up. I think that's why the Apostle Paul at the end was inspired to write and talk about desiring the greater gifts, greater than tongues, greater than healing, greater than miracles or teaching, the greater gifts of love and encouragement. We'll explore those a little more next week as we get into chapter 13, the love chapter of 1 Corinthians. But that great opportunity we have to be loved, be strengthened when we are hurting or afraid or in need. The great opportunity we have that when we're in that strong place to love and give and support. This great rhythm in this family, this body that is with Jesus, helps us build each other up and our different parts serve Him and serve the needy world around us. May God help us desire those greater gifts, and may He help us glorify His name as we rely on the great gift of His Spirit to do and serve and love for all. Amen.